How would you like to get all of your favorite NFL teams merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Check out fanessentials.net. All you do is pick your favorite sports team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed with full of some amazing gear. It makes a great gift idea for any sports fan. Prices start at just $34.99. Visit fanessentials.net and use promo code FANTASY, that's promo code FANTASY, at checkout for 30% off your first month. Visit fanessentials.net to get all the essentials you need. Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at Pro Football Weekly. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. I'm joined on the line by Pro Football Weekly fantasy expert and all-around good guy, Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how you doing today, man?
John, you should have saw me last night when I was dealing with a dog that had just gotten skunked. I was saying things and doing things that would make you think I was not an all-around good guy.
that's rough. I've had dogs before. Fortunately, they've never been skunked. But man, was it tomato? Do you have to use tomato juice to do that, or is there like a special soap that you have to do now?
I didn't have any tomato juice at my disposal, unfortunately. I did have some oranges, and I was told anything citrus would work. So I was rubbing oranges all over my black lab and waiting for my wife, the veterinarian, to come home and rescue the day with the skunk shampoo. So we're okay now, but it's still a little stinky in my small home here.
So not only do you get fantasy tips when you listen to this podcast, but if you have an animal that gets skunked, citrus. That's what you do. But that's not why you called. We are here to do the game-by-game breakdown. We do it every week. Arthur and I will go through each game one by one, give you some plays we like, plays we don't like, and move on from there. So, and then with some bold calls, too. So, Arthur, let's get right to it. The Thursday night game, New Orleans at Carolina, 52 is the over-under. Carolina favored by 3.5 at home. Arthur, what's your take on this game? Where are you landing on this one?
Well, I think you can throw a dart and you're probably going to end up just fine in terms of fantasy prospects. Obviously, a lot to like from the skill positions, from the quarterbacks. You can kind of go across the board. I guess the guy I'm most intrigued by this week is the rookie Michael Thomas, because it seemed he could do no wrong, nine games into his rookie season, and then the wheels came off last week with a couple of fumbles. So if I were a betting man, which I am not, I am thinking that Drew Brees is going to try and get Michael Thomas right back into the thick of things, and he could go off for a real nice day against that Carolina secondary.
Yeah, he was such a DFS dud for me last week. I was all over Thomas, and obviously that didn't work out well. I think the only guys I'm staying away from this one is Ingram and Hightower, the running back situation. Still a bit of a timeshare, and I don't like them going up against Carolina's rush defense.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Carolina has certainly improved in their front seven. That has been, you know, kind of the catalyst for the team improvement, at least until, you know, they had just a total nightmare finish last week. So I think if you have them, you're probably still playing them, but maybe you're not as excited as you are, you know, versus, say, last week going to San Francisco and things like that.
All right, let's move on to the next game. This is on the Sunday slate, Tennessee at Indianapolis. 52.5 is the over-under. Indy favored by 3 at home. Arthur, Marcus Mariota is putting up MVP-type numbers against a pretty soft schedule in the middle of the season. I think that continues against a pretty weak Indianapolis defense. I love Mariota. DeMarco Murray and Delaney Walker all seem like great options to me in this one.
Yeah, I had to kind of stop myself as I was ranking Marcus Mariota above Aaron Rodgers today, and then you know, I did a double take, but I didn't change it. I think it really is warranted. The way he's playing has been just remarkable, the way he's gotten Delaney Walker and Rishard Matthews going. Delaney Walker in particular, he's my tight end one of the week going up against the Colts. That's a wonderful matchup for him. And, you know, DeMarco Murray is going to keep doing what he's been doing, and that's just being an animal, frankly. So on the Colts side, they're coming off the bye, and it'll be interesting to see how they come off the bye. They're kind of in dire straits at this point. And I would assume that there's going to be lots of offense from Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief. Do you see anything from the Titans defense to think otherwise?
No, I don't. And I'll throw in Jack Doyle in there. Even though Dwayne Allen is back, Doyle, has, I think, has established himself as the number one tight end in the Colts offense.
Yeah, it was interesting to see with Allen back last week how Luck seemed to be kind of looking toward Doyle a lot more often. So, yeah, it's just been a good story for him, and it'll be fun to see if this Colts offense can really kind of hit its stride now that they're rested and they seem to have all their pieces back.
All right, Jacksonville at Detroit, 47 is the over-under. Detroit favored by 6.5 at home. The suddenly first-place Detroit Lions, which is a shock in and of itself. But there's, I think there are a decent number of plays that, even though Darius Slay is back for the Lions, I still like Allen Robinson. He's gotten double-digit targets in each of the past three games and at least 70 yards and I believe a score in each of the past two. I know he's been pretty bad if you drafted him, first or second round, you're regretting that. But the past couple games, he's been good. I don't see a reason for him to slow down in this matchup. What do you think?
Nor do I. He's been a rare bright spot, as you said, over the past couple weeks. And I think, obviously Robinson's disappointed if you spend a late first rounder, early second rounder on him. But I do think we have to spread the blame around because Blake Bortles has been, probably the worst quarterback in football. So he's not doing Robinson any favors. But I do like him to keep that role going, even if he does see Darius Slay. Insert your weekly joke about the Lions defense covering tight ends. Julius Thomas has a prolific scorer, obviously, throughout his career, has 3 touchdowns in the past 4 weeks. I think you probably feel pretty good about that. On the other side of things, I don't know. I think the Lions, what they're doing is real right now, and they're going to have a chance to sustain it. But I think they need to get Marvin Jones going again because as nice as Eric Ebron's ascent has been, and, Theo Riddick's been good at times, Golden Tate's been good in the clutch. I think they're going to need Marvin Jones down the stretch. I think this is a tough matchup, though, going up against Jalen Ramsey. What do you think about that? And then is there any saving grace in either of these backfields before this season ends? Are we going to be able to make any sense of anything?
Ramsey's been really impressive as a rookie. He's been grading out pretty high, and I think that's been improving most weeks. So I agree with you that the Lions need to get Marvin Jones going. I just don't think this is the week for them to do it. Yep. As far as the backfield, it's a complete void for me. There's no clarity. There are better options elsewhere. I'm staying away from it.
Yeah, it's probably the smart move, but it's just it's tough because these are two potentially prolific offenses, and you'd like to think that there is some opportunistic chances for the backfields. But I agree, until we know what to make of them, you're probably going to look elsewhere.
All right, next game, Tampa Bay at Kansas City. 44.5 is the over-under. Kansas City favored by 7.5 at home. Kind of a rare game where I like both running backs. I think Spencer Ware is a great play against a Tampa Bay defense that I know people really obviously are high on Gerald McCoy for a great reason, but the rest of the Tampa Bay rush defense doesn't leave much to be inspired. And Jordan Howard, despite not getting the ball nearly as much as he should have, ran for 100 yep. yards last week on this defense. So I think this is a great spot for Spencer Ware. I want to get your thoughts on Doug Martin coming back and getting more and more into the mix for the Bucs against this Kansas City defense. Where are you on Doug Martin this week?
Yeah, just to quickly echo your opinion on Spencer Ware, that dude is running hard right now, and you're going to ride him certainly as long as this goes, and as long as they're without Jeremy Maclin, the Chiefs, that is, it only should open up more opportunities for Ware. But, Martin needed that late touchdown in garbage time to salvage his day. And then nonetheless, considering how long he's been gone, being away for a couple months, I think, and then still getting a double-digit scoring day with the touchdown is encouraging. So we know that Dirk Cutter needs to run the football for Jameis Winston. He's very committed to it. It's kind of fortuitous that they get Martin back, just as obviously Rodgers and, Sims has been down for a couple weeks now, but it is officially his backfield again, it would seem. And after another week to get healthy and against the Chiefs, who've actually been vulnerable versus the run, maybe it's a week for Martin to really fully reemerge and reestablish himself as a fantasy relevant player.
Anybody else you like in this game?
I don't want to pat myself on the back too much, but where did Tyreek Hill end up last week? I know he saw a ton of targets. Did he? I don't know if he found the end zone or not, but he was active.
That was a good call by you.
He was my bold call last week. Actually, it wasn't as good as my other one, Taylor Gabriel, who I believe had a 73-yard touchdown, but that's neither here nor there. I guess Hill is the one other name to keep an eye on. Obviously, you like Kelsey, particularly if Macklin's down, but I think this Hill thing is interesting. It seems like they're scheming him the football now, and he's such an electrifying player. It's nice to have a guy that you at least think can, take it the distance from anywhere on the field.
Yeah, if Hill's available on your waiver wire, definitely go pick him up. Let's move on to the next one. Bears at Giants. 45 is the over-under. It's already come down from 47.5. Giants favored by 7.5 at home. Obviously, you're playing Odell, And man, this Bears offense, I guess Zach Miller and maybe I like Jordan Howard as a player, but the Giants have done a really nice job of stopping the run up the middle, which is where Howard's strength is. So I if there are better options than Howard, I'm playing him.
Yeah, and you know, he's coming off the mysterious inactivity in the second half last week. The good news is that John Fox said on Wednesday he felt fortunate that the injury wasn't more serious. Howard was allegedly a full go in practice if you listen to the Chicago media, and then Fox told the Giants media that he was limited. So another day in the exciting life of John Fox and covering that team. But I think Howard you're going to roll with just because he's been hot, and at the same time, you probably have to temper your expectations a bit. I like Cameron Meredith the rest of the way, but Janoris Jenkins has been one of the best corners in the NFL, and I think he's going to make for a long day for Meredith. On the Giants side, you know, obviously Odell, although he has a tough matchup with Tracy Porter, is not getting enough credit for the way he's playing. And then I think Sterling Shepard is the one other guy because I just don't have a lot of confidence in anyone else in that defensive backfield for Chicago. Anyone we're missing in this one?
Maybe as a deep flyer, Roger Lewis has seen his snap count increase, and Eli doesn't mind throwing to him.
He doesn't, but Lewis didn't really help his cause much the other night with a couple bad drops. I agree. I was all on him last week with two big touchdowns in the previous three games, and then he seemed to fall behind guys like Tavarius King and Dwayne Harris and other guys that really have no business being on the field either. And then we don't know about Victor Cruz's status. So just kind of monitor what's going on with that number three position, I guess, as the week progresses.
All right, let's move on to the next game. Arizona at Minnesota, 40.5 is the over-under, and it's a pick'em right now. Bruce Arians kind of doing the opposite of what John Fox does. Just came out today and said, we're sticking Patrick Peterson in the slot against Stephon Diggs and see if he can stop him. Now, Patrick Peterson is obviously one of the best corners in the NFL, but shout out to Rich Rebar over at RotoWorld for unearthing this stat. When Peterson is playing on the outside, he allows a touchdown every 22 targets, so very rare to score on Patrick Peterson. When Peterson moves into the slot, he allows a touchdown every 6 targets. So I'm not afraid to fire up Stephon Diggs in any format this week, especially given how the past couple weeks have gone. The Vikings have decided that he's their offense, that he's going to get 12 to 15 targets potentially. I don't know if he'll get that much against Patrick Peterson, but I'm not afraid to fire up Stephon Diggs in this matchup.
John, I wish I would have had that stat before I did my rankings. I was afraid to rank him any higher than, he's way down here. I got to look for a second and see where I put him. Stephon Diggs is my wide receiver 17 this week. So, it's fair, but based off of what he did the past couple weeks with obviously multiple 13 catch games, the first player in NFL history to do that, typically you'd think he'd be a little higher. And then again, I was a little scared off by Patrick Peterson. So, it'll be a fun matchup to watch. Two really hot players right now, and obviously Bruce Arians has to throw Peterson in the slot because he doesn't have Tyrann Mathieu, so it's kind of by necessity. But like you said, it's a little refreshing to just have a coach come out and say what he's going to do and tell the opposition to figure it out, even when you have the week to do so.
I like the Arizona defense still because Minnesota doesn't really have much. They have the worst rushing attack in the NFL, so I think Arizona is a defense you can fire up with confidence. This week, anybody else you love? This obviously David Johnson's a guy you love. How about in the Arizona passing game? Anybody you really like this week in this low total matchup?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'm going to save it. Let's get to the bold call at the end of the podcast. I have one for you in the Arizona passing game, but it's just a one to monitor because Larry Fitzgerald banged up. Arians already said he would not miss a return to his hometown. And at the same time, I would say just kind of keep an eye on the injury situation there. Obviously, J.J. Nelson just completely melted in his opportunity last week. So the door's open for someone else, and I'll tell you about that at the end of the podcast.
That's called a tease. That's just good podcasting. let's move on to the next one. Buffalo, Cincinnati, 47.5 is the over under. It's come up already 2 points. It opened at 45.5. Cincinnati favored by 3 at home. Arthur, who do you like in this matchup?
The obvious studs for the Bengals, Tyler Eifert, watching him get loose for 60, 70 yarder early in that game last week. Very encouraging. He is obviously healthy and now stacked really good performances. Buffalo's defense is hemorrhaging big plays. So I think between Green and Eifert, they are certainly capable of coming up with something. I would say, though, with Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill. If you have other options, I would explore them because the Buffalo run defense is really good. On the flip side, I don't know if this Bills offense is quite yet getting the attention it suddenly deserves, but top 10 in scoring, I think number 7 last time I checked. Tyrod Taylor coming off one of the games of his life. Robert Woods coming off the game of his life. So I feel pretty good about both of those guys. And then, you know, LeSean McCoy is obvious. He said he feels fresh coming out of the bye. And I think if he stays that way healthy, he could be a guy who's in the running for RB1 the rest of the way.
Yeah, Tyrod approaching Ty God status again. So I'm happy to see that because I was all over him in the preseason, and now it's finally nice to see it come to fruition a little bit.
Well, I wish I would have been watching that game in Seattle with you, although I know you have a new one, a new little one at home, so I don't know how much of it you saw, but man, did Tyrod strap on his big boy pants and go toe-to-toe with Russell Wilson. That was a treat to watch.
It definitely was. Let's move on to the next game, Baltimore at Dallas. 45 is the over-under. Dallas favored by 7 at home. Arthur, this is Dak Prescott's job, officially, we learned this week. Not that that's a huge surprise, but good on the Cowboys and good on Tony Romo for backing up Dak Prescott. I like him in this matchup against Baltimore. How about you?
It'll be interesting. You know, I was a week off. I thought that Romo, it seemed like he was heading toward being the backup last week, obviously ends up being inactive, and that'll happen for the first time this week. And I thought that added such an extra layer of intrigue just to see the way Dak would perform with the Cowboys franchise passing leader actually holding a clipboard on the sideline. So we'll see that now this week. You know, Dak coming off the big-time performance, obviously, and clutch in Pittsburgh. This Baltimore defense is for real, though, but it's particularly good against the run. So maybe you feel better about – I'm not going to say you feel better about Dak than Zeke, obviously, but matchup-wise, I guess it maybe favors Dak a little bit more. So it'll be fun to watch. I think if you have him, you probably can feel pretty good playing him. I think Dez Bryant's an excellent play this week. Ezekiel Elliott has just trashed really good defenses before. The Packers come to mind, so obviously you're rolling with him without kind of giving it any second thought. I guess the bigger kind of wild cards are on the Baltimore side, and the guy that I'm very interested in this week is Kenneth Dixon. He had the long layoff after last Thursday night and Baltimore just putting it to Cleveland, and it was so clear who the best or the most explosive back was on the field in that game. It was not Terrence West. So what do you think about Kenneth Dixon? Is he the kind of guy who might be ready for a late season, late rookie season stretch run getting hot for Baltimore?
Yeah, I like Dixon, and this is a pretty good matchup for him. I mean, to have success against Dallas, you know, running the ball is certainly a good option, and I like Dixon's talent, and I think that Baltimore likes him, so I certainly wouldn't be afraid to fire him up. On the Dallas side, one guy I'm avoiding is Jason Witten. Baltimore is really done a nice job against tight ends this year. So I'm more confident in Dak and maybe a guy like Cole Beasley than I am in a guy like Witten this week.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, Baltimore has done a good job investing you know, in that safety position and at linebacker to stop tight ends. So that's a good call by you. Is there anyone in the Baltimore passing game at all? I mean, is Mike Wallace just too boom or bust to get excited about? Dennis Pitta seems so up and down. I don't know if there's – well, I guess Steve Smith is the obvious choice there. What do you think about Steve Smith this week against that secondary?
So I like Mike Wallace when Steve Smith is out. But if Steve Smith's playing, then I'm kind of meh on both of them.
Yeah, that's probably prudent. Makes sense.
Next game, Pittsburgh at Cleveland. 48 is the over-under. Pittsburgh favored by 8 on the road. The only question really is how many fantasy points will Roethlisberger, Bell, and Brown put up against this terrible Cleveland defense.
Right, and actually it was our PFW fantasy expert JC Talon who wrote this week in his rankings or his matchup preview, I don't remember what column it was, but mentioned that potentially, you know, Roethlisberger and Brown, it may be working against them if the Steelers get out to such an early lead. It could be more of a Le'Veon Bell and maybe even a Fitzgerald Toussaint type of game. So, you know, obviously you're playing them and you'll hope that they're the ones responsible for the early scores that Pittsburgh will imminently put up in Cleveland. But I think a game script warning might be, I think that's decent advice in this one. On the Cleveland side, Pittsburgh just lost their best run defender for the year in Cameron Hayward. The question is, can Isaiah Crowell manage to salvage what was once looking like a really good season, or can Duke Johnson come on at all? And then, you know, Pittsburgh secondary, not all that scary either. So is Terrell Pryor or Corey Coleman anyone you can have any confidence in this week?
They're to me, they're dart throws, and I'd be more inclined to the passing game because I think Pittsburgh is going to get up and get up big real quick. So I think that right. Cleveland will be forced to throw. But if you've got better options, I'm not playing my Browns this week.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, Miami at Los Angeles. 40 is the over-under. Miami favored by 1.5 on the road. Arthur, I don't like anybody in this game. Maybe Jay Ajayi, but that's about it.
Yeah, I mean you're obviously rolling with the Jai if you have him. My question, and you're our point total guy. Did the line go up? Did the number go up or down when the Jared Goff announcement came in?
It went down a point, and it went from a pick'em to Miami favored by 1.5.
Okay,
so Miami, you know, both defenses, I guess, if you got them. But man, that's about it.
Yeah, I do agree with you. The one other intriguing guy to me, Devontae Parker, coming off a big week, 100 yards after we had all just buried him, and Ryan Tannehill was complimenting his week of practice, so maybe he finds a way to kind of stack solid outings together for the first time in a while. Jarvis Landry's turned into a big disappointment this year. We mentioned Ajayi, and with the Rams, I mean, you're steering clear. I wonder if this is kind of the nail in Todd Gurley's sophomore coffin. I can't imagine that switching to the rookie quarterback can mean anything good for Gurley, right?
It isn't, and I believe I researched this, and Gurley hasn't run for more than 100 yards since, I believe, week 15 of last year.
Jeez.
That's not going to happen again this week. I mean, he's not going to reach that this week. You're basically if you've got Todd Gurley, you are basically accepting that he is going to get 70 to 80 all-purpose yards and probably not find the paint.
Brutal. And I think it was you that posed the question last week, is this kind of the Trent Richardson reincarnation? I'm still not ready to go there because I think he's such an immensely better talent, but just the fact that we're even posing such questions, mid-November of his second season is just a huge, huge letdown, obviously, for Gurley owners and frankly, for any fans of good running back play, because, man, was he explosive last year. It just hasn't been sustainable.
Yeah, all right, let's move on to the next one. New England, San Francisco. New England favored by 13 with an over-under of 51.5. You're obviously playing Brady, Gronk, Edelman. Arthur, I'm curious where you are on the running back situation in New England. It seems like it sets up as a blunt game, but with Deion Lewis lurking and James White still drawing some pretty favorable opinion from Coach Bill Belichick, where are you on the running back situation in this game?
I mean, I love Blunt. I have him as RB5 overall. The Niners defense really is that bad, even after what it did to David Johnson last week, which was just short of stunning. Either way, because he said such a high point total, and this one should be a blowout, I think Blunt finds the end zone at least once, probably twice. I also have a startable grade on James White, RB24. I just think that New England is going to be as cautious as they possibly can with Deion Lewis. It's not just me thinking it. That's essentially what Bill Belichick has said. And he's said that White has earned the right to hold him off. So I think that, that's kind of where that situation is at right now. I think if you own Deion Lewis, you absolutely are holding him because he could be the kind of guy that wins you a league in the playoffs or leading up to them. But I still think it's James White's show as that kind of sub package back. And then as far as, with Rob Gronkowski not playing, I was just so bummed out. I put in a couple waiver claims for Martellus Bennett. I only came through on one of them, but I think he could potentially lead all tight ends this week in scoring. He's going to have a huge week. And on the Niners side, really just Colin Kaepernick. I wouldn't be scared of playing Kaepernick. I actually have a startable grade on him as my QB12 this week. He really has improved. I think people don't, I'm not talking about it because there's more interesting Colin Kaepernick things to discuss, but he has played a little bit better of late.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did mention Gronk, and I meant to say Martellus Bennett. Colin Kaepernick is certainly startable in fantasy this week. I mean, he has got a decent floor, and it's, the Niners are going to need to throw, and I'm definitely not afraid of starting Colin Kaepernick. The Patriots have not been amazing against opposing quarterbacks this year. I got no problem with Kaepernick, but that's about it on the 49ers side.
The Patriots have missed. Yeah, I agree, but New England has missed. Belichick wouldn't say it, obviously, but they've missed Jamie Collins a little bit, and he's exactly the type of player who can go sideline to sideline and kind of take away Kaepernick as a runner. So it's a decent matchup for him. Like you said, the game script certainly favors a lot of point possibilities, and I think you could do a lot worse than Cap this week.
All right, a couple games left. Philadelphia at Seattle. 44 is the over-under. Seattle favored by 6.5 at home. Well, Arthur, we were C-Mike truthers, and well, now the Seahawks got rid of him, and I believe the Packers picked him up today. So it is CJ Procise's show. I love him in this, not only going forward until Thomas Rawls comes back, but I love him in this matchup too. Where are you in this Seattle-Philadelphia game?
Let me make sure I just heard that right. Did you say the Packers claim Michael?
I believe I saw that on Twitter just before we got on.
Okay, good. I was curious to see who it was going to be. I didn't think he would make it through waivers, and I actually had this funny feeling it was going to be someone with a high waiver claim. Well, I guess the Packers at this point are a relatively high waiver claim, but nonetheless, that is interesting. But as this game goes, I also like Procise a lot. He was my number one waiver target this week, and at the same time, it does sound like the Seahawks are anxious to get Thomas Rawls back, assimilated into the offense. They wouldn't have waived Michael if Rawls wasn't ready to go this week. So who knows? Maybe they both produce, although that's a tough Philly defense. And, on the Eagles side against the Seahawks defense, there's not a ton I like, although I do think quietly running backs are having some success against Seattle now. It's just so hard to figure. It seems like it's a different guy in that Philly backfield each week. Last week it was Ryan Matthews, right?
Yeah, and screw Doug Peterson, because he clearly came out and said Darren Sproles is the lead back, and then Ryan Matthews is clearly the lead back in the game. So Doug Peterson playing some games with some fantasy owners, not happy with him right now. You know what else I like in this game is Doug Baldwin. The Eagles corners are banged up. I believe Nolan Carroll's in the concussion protocol. The Otis McKelvin is dealing with a hamstring issue. So I like Baldwin a lot, and we saw him catch fire last year. I could see that happening again.
Yeah, he's already exceeded my expectations. He just finds a way to get in the end zone and did it, two or three times last week. I think that's a solid play. Is there anyone on the Eagles side? I mean, I don't know.
I like Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, he avoids Sherman, so that's good news.
Really, the only way to have success against Seattle is kind of up the middle. So I think it's probably Jordan Matthews. And, if you can read the tea leaves with Doug Peterson, God bless you, but I don't mind the lead running back in Philadelphia. I just don't know who that is.
Right. And the last thing, I agree with Matthews. You can feel pretty good about him this week, but just make sure you monitor his status. He obviously took that massive hit, that what turns out was an illegal hit from Keanu Neal, the Falcons rookie headhunter, I think we can safely call him at this point.
Yep.
So I know that he is banged up and has a sore back as of this taping on Wednesday. Matthews does.
All right, Sunday night game, Green Bay at Washington, 50.5 is the over-under. Washington favored by 2.5 at home. Based on how Green Bay's defense has performed, you got to like Kirk Cousins this week, don't you?
Yeah, man, the Packers' defense has been almost as giving as any in fantasy against opposing quarterbacks. So, and now Demaryius Randall banged up. And yes, they're Clay Matthews still, we don't know, but that pass rush has been just desperately woeful without him. I don't even know if that makes sense, desperately woeful. They have missed Clay Matthews quite a bit. So Washington, Jordan Reed, certainly you're going to feel great about DeSean Jackson. We have to wait and see if he's going to get back. Even that once vaunted Packers run defense, not exactly scaring people anymore. So if you were fortunate enough to go out and get Robert Kelly, I think
Fat
you probably
Rob.
feel pretty decent about him, too. If nothing else, it's by default. They don't trust Matt Jones. He's not healthy. And Kelly gets a lot of volume for an offense that's heading in the right direction.
Yeah, fire up Fat Rob. I really like everybody on the Washington side that you mentioned. On the Green Bay side, it looks like the Ty Montgomery thing is over.
Yep.
So I am more high on Jordy and Cobb this week, too. All right.
Yep, Devontae Adams is quietly played very well for them, too. I snuck him into my rankings late. He's still a little bit below Cobb, but I think Adams is definitely startable this week. And I like James Starks, too, but I guess we'll get to the bold predictions here in a minute. I feel pretty darn good about James Starks.
Last game on the slate, Houston at Oakland. Actually, that game is in Mexico City. 46 is the over-under. Oakland favored by 5.5. Arthur, I really like Latavius Murray in this matchup. Where are you on Latavius in this game?
Well, boy, I mean, if Oakland isn't committed to feeding him after what he did before the bye against Denver, that was totally awesome. That was probably the best performance I think Latavius Murray has had in the NFL. So shame on them if they don't, on Musgrave, if he doesn't give it back to him. But I suspect he will. The Texans are very good against the pass and not as good against the run. So I think you were absolutely right about that. We'll see. You know, Amari Cooper sometimes struggles in these big-time matchups. And like I just said, Houston's pass defense, very good. So if you have Carr and Cooper, you're going to roll with them. But are you feeling good about them this week?
Yeah, I still feel – I always feel good about Carr and Cooper, but I have man crushes on both of them. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, and they've been a little up and down, but you know, ultimately, I guess it's you know that Cooper's going to get a ton of looks, and you know what the upside is there. So yes, you're probably rolling with them. What about Houston? Is this a lost season for DeAndre Hopkins at this point? And is there anyone else that gets you excited except for Lamar Miller?
It's Lamar Miller, and that's about it. And I agree with you. It's such a shame with DeAndre Hopkins because he's so talented, but him and Brock Osweiler just cannot get on the same page. And it looks like that's going to be a lot of work in the offseason to get those two back together.
You mean to get Tony Romo and DeAndre Hopkins acclimated?
Ooh, I like it.
A dark throw. I'm not hearing that anywhere. It just seems like a good match. That's if they can beat John Elway to him, I guess.
All right, well, let's close out the show with our bold calls. Arthur, you teased your bold call earlier. Let's hear it.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, it's not the boldest ever because he's coming off a big game, but I'm just... And I guess it's because I haven't drank it enough in the past, the Michael Floyd Kool-Aid that is, that I'm back on it again. I just like the way that he came through in the crunch time moment for them last week, a big catch with Arizona going for the game-winning drive. The Vikings corners are actually banged up a little bit, so I know that that defense is still pretty tough, but I really like Michael Floyd this week. I think he turns into a top 10 wide receiver performance for them, and I really believe in what Arizona is saying. And remember, he's in a contract year, so even if the Cardinals do lose another game and fall out of the playoff race, I think Floyd could end up being a really nice asset the rest of the way. And then I do have one bonus one. I think James Starks, too. The Packers rode him late last season when they had Eddie Lacy. Now they don't. He looks much more like a running back than Ty Montgomery. Washington is good against the pass, but can still be had against the run. So I think James Starks turns in a top 10 running back performance this week, too.
Well, Arthur, I guess you could say we like the over in the Arizona-Minnesota game because my bullet call comes from there. I think Stephon Diggs is a top 5 wide receiver, even going up against Patrick Peterson this week. The volume is just too much. If he's going to get 12 to 14 targets, and Patrick Peterson, we know, can struggle a little bit in the slot. I think Diggs is continues to have big week after big week, and I'm not afraid to start him this week.
I like it. That should be one of the more entertaining matchups to watch. And, you know, I know the Vikings have taken a lot of heat lately, but credit Pat Shurmur for redesigning the offense to run through Stephon Diggs. It's essentially an extension of the run game that was non-existent. So I like it. I can't wait to watch.
All right. That'll do it for this week's Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Podcast. For Arthur Arkish, I'm John Solly. Good luck in your matchups.